Подвищу.
Plus, I fell under the weather on a couple of nights, and I was just in no condition to record a podcast. I think most of my responses would have been like, "Hey, Carlo, what do you think about this going on?" I'm like, "I don't give a shit, man. I'm not even excited about MMA or anything like that." So, again, apologize to our loyal listeners for missing last week. That was my bad.
Yeah, I mean, I still went through with it and it was cool. And glad you're back. And how do you feel, man?
I feel a lot better. Good. I feel like, well, now I'm at that age where, you know, when we were younger, you think, oh, I missed some workouts. So you start doubling up, like to make up for lost time or whatever. But I'm at an age where I don't believe in that shit anymore. You miss a workout.
Exactly.
That's what it is. But real quick, I want to shout out some martial arts activity in the Bay Area. A couple of our students over at Hapkido Yosei's Golden Pizza Muay Thai participated in the Muay Thai Development League in Stockton last weekend. So shout out to Ted. Shout out to the young kid, Nathan. I saw footage of their performances in those scrimmages. They did great. And nice. Also shout out to the Major League Muay Thai event in Stockton that took place that same day. We had a couple of friends that competed in that, Sean.
Yeah.
That's our homie Arian from Pacific Ring Sports.
He
won by TKO in the first round. So he won a title belt, added that to the collection.
Nice.
One of our homies, Gabe David, head coach of Rooted Legacy Muay Thai. He fought a fighter out of Mexico. He lost a decision, but fought really strong. And one of our homies, Ethan from Wooden Man Muay Thai, made his return to fighting after more than a year off. He fought Jabril from Team Mesh, who made his pro debut. And they fought three strong, solid rounds. Jabril took a decision victory in that one. So congratulations to Major League Muay Thai under the WBC and Ivan Ramos for putting on a successful show. So good job, guys. Fun stuff. Go ahead.
What's Mark DeRusso's role in all that?
Well, he is the North American president, I believe, of WBC. Wow. And for this event, he didn't really have a role in the sanctioning sense, but his role was he was the play-by-play guy for the stream, the pay-per-view stream.
Yeah.
So got to listen to Coach Mark call the shots that evening. He was giving a lot of his feedback in terms of what he saw. And he's trying to do a thorough job of educating the viewer on the WBC style scoring for Muay Thai.
Sick. That's awesome. It's good to know that West Coast Muay Thai is in good hands over here.
How's training going for you?
Good, man. Trained twice last week. I was going to see how I felt last week to see if I was going to compete later this month. But schedule and conflicts aside, probably won't be able to do it.
Oh, no competition for Sean.
No competition this time, but definitely in the gym just to help the guys prepare because there's going to be a bunch of them. And if I can't compete myself, then I'm going to, of course, help my boys and my homegirls out there. So,
Telling you guys is that he's actually competing in a pole dancing competition that weekend. So he'd much rather do that. And we much rather would see that, apparently.
I'm going to compete at the rodeo. That's another one, too.
Nice. Hey, you need strong grips either way. Hey, dude, did you read that Ronda Rousey has been doing the publicity rounds lately, giving some interviews and some podcasts?
Yeah.
Apparently, she was hiding a pretty thorough history of concussions right in the midst of her MMA career and her pro wrestling career. And she said she suffered a concussion leading up to her Holly Holm fight from falling.
It's tough.
And then she had a rough weight cut, so she was already like depleted going into that fight. And she said she hit it because, you know, she just wanted to continue fighting. She wanted to build a legacy. But I'm wondering, she's probably not the only one. You know, she's the biggest name, obviously, one of the all-time biggest stars ever in MMA.
Yeah.
But she's probably not the only mixed martial arts combatant that's hiding a history of head injuries just so they can continue their career. It's kind of wild.
Probably not the best idea to try to compete against a boxing Hall of Famer in Holly Holm and defending your title at the same time.
Yeah, while trying to protect like brain injuries and whatnot. I always feel though that's one of those situations where your coaches, your team should be working to protect you from yourself.
Totally. But I mean, she was like larger than life at that point. I think when she did fight Holly Holm at that point, wasn't she also taking small little breaks in between? Like, I think she, at that time, she was probably only fighting maybe once a year. And she was like doing stuff in between.
Leading up to the Holly Holm fight, I think she was still pretty busy. Like, she was at the peak of her PR powers, you know. She was walking around like she was a god. Remember, this is the time when Joe Rogan was convinced, your homie Joe Rogan, by the way, was convinced that if you put them in a boxing ring, Holly Holm might possibly beat Floyd Mayweather.
Is this the one where she was also on Ring Magazine?
I don't remember that much, but she was, but essentially she was the shit at that time, which made the loss to Holly Holm even more shocking at that time, especially the way it happened. So, she's the biggest name. I'm wondering if her talking about this is going to lead to some other fighters, you know, kind of reevaluating their careers, reevaluating their life choices in terms of what to do with themselves. And maybe put health before all that, because health is wealth.
Yeah, totally. Hopefully right now she's not feeling any lasting effects from that, because I can only imagine if how many concussions she actually had. I'm sure.
Because she was counting, like, you know, her judo career, MMA career, the wrestling career. And in judo, people don't understand, like, to avoid being scored on, you can't fall on your back. So a lot of these judo fighters judo competitors, they're falling on their heads and their faces.
I know. It's fucking nuts, dude.
It is an intense sport. Judo's fucking wild, bro.
Yeah. What do you think of I mentioned this last week on the pod. What do you think of that new UFC Saudi Arabia card in June? Headlined by Mr. Robert Whittaker versus Khamzat Chimaev.
I mean, very intriguing. I'm not sure. I mean, did it get my like antennas going? I don't know if it got that. It went. I don't know if I'd go that far.
Okay.
I mean, I'd be curious to see if Khamzat makes weight.
I mean, that's also at 85. You know, it's not like it's.
Oh, it is. You know what? You're right. It is at 85. I keep thinking of all the times Khamzat couldn't make 70. You know, you're right. Thank you for correcting me, Sean. You know, what do you think? Who do you have for that one? I mean, Whittaker is so smart, but Khamzat, you know, the first two rounds, he is a fucking nightmare to handle. But if you could get him, get past the first round and a half and wear him down, he's not as explosive at going into the third round. And this is going to be a 5-round fight.
I totally agree. I think that this could possibly be probably a worse matchup for him, only because, you know, Whittaker is battle tested. He's a former champion, kind of fits the weight class kind of. I mean, he's still, you know, they both kind of started at 170. My thing is this, is they've been trying to book a fight for Chimaev for the longest time. And it's like, he's been having trouble getting fights here in the US. So it's like, say everything comes into play and he's able to become, you know, like number one contender. So it's like, does the champion have to go to Saudi Arabia or one of these countries?
They got to go to a whatever country, I guess, would allow Chimaev to fight.
Yeah, exactly.
If they want to make that happen. And who knows if that would happen. But again, you know, again, look, one step at a time, he's still got to get past Whitaker. And that is no small task. And Whitaker is a smart ass fighter too. I'm wondering what type of game plan you'll put together to get around kind of almost the reckless striking of Chimaev, but reckless because he can afford to be reckless because his wrestling is so good.
Do you think the experience with Yoel Romero and all the other top tier opposition that Whitaker has fought, do you think that helps him in this fight to negate a lot of those grappling exchanges? And his takedown defense has always been good, but
Chimaev's pace of how he pushes into that, forcing you to defend his takedown, that's pretty relentless.
It is. And
pretty unseen at middleweight too.
And we also saw that in the last fight with Whitaker and Duplessis, where Duplessis was the one pushing the pace and Whitaker was kind of unable to match that pace. Mm-hmm. So here's another question. Did you see the other fights that were put on that bill? I think it was Kelvin Gastelum, Daniel Rodriguez, Johnny Walker, Volkan Ozdemir, and then the one-eyed leprechaun Sharp Putin.
You almost said one-eyed snake. His one-eyed and the one-eyed trouser snake. That's a fight name we haven't heard yet, and that we need to have somebody sign up for. Yeah. So hurry up, somebody.
Now, mind you, this is also going to be on ABC.
Yeah, it's free TV.
Yeah.
Interesting move by the UFC. Interesting move. You kind of see like, okay, Saudi Arabia really putting out the sports washing money out there to try to really rehabilitate their image. So really interesting to see how this goes.
Well, remember, they had a Saudi Arabia card planned prior to this and they were like, No. I think it was like fight night comparable.
Yeah,
like,
well, they didn't
fighters.
Like the lineup that the UFC initially offered them. They thought it was a little too low key, so they wanted something a little bit louder. I think Chimaev versus Whitaker is a very popular type of matchup that fits that bill. Now, I'm not sure. I'm not so sure I'm really hot on the undercard, but I mean, I'm not the one who works there, so who gives a shit what I think?
There was also a little bit of controversy between, I think, because it is going to be in Saudi Arabia, right? So I had heard some things about Sergey Pavlovich versus Alexander Volkov. I don't know how it works out there, but I don't think that there's supposed to be two Russians fighting each other around that area. Is that what I'm hearing?
I've never heard of that before.
Yeah, I heard something on some other podcast where it's like, no, they would never let that happen. I'm just like, why?
Well, that sounds like podcast speculation. Yeah, yeah. I mean, come on, Sean. We're on a podcast. We pull a lot of shit out of our ass, too.
I know.
So whichever podcast said that, fuck you guys. You're full of shit. You don't
sorry,
know
John Anik.
That's right. Come and fight us. My name is Sean Virai.
Yeah. I live in South City.
Yeah. Go find him at South City. We're not going to help you, though.
No.
Were you able to watch the fights last weekend?
Yeah, I caught most of them. One thing I did miss was the Buckley fight, but I mean, I did see the highlights, but I would have liked to see the,
that was weird. We could talk about it a little bit, but let's jump into UFC Fight Night from last Saturday over in Atlantic City, a pretty consequential women's flyweight fight between Erin Blanchfield and I always like flip flop on how you pronounce Manon's last name. I always thought it was Fierro. Mm-hmm. Am I saying it right?
I don't know, because some people on the broadcast were saying Fior and then it was Fioro. Everyone was having trouble with both of her names.
Okay, so Blanchfield via Fioro. I'm going to stay with my thing here. And Fioro gets the unanimous decision win over five rounds. I got to say, though, neither of these fighters look quite impressive. And you know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to hate on him, but it just didn't have that feel of a high level fight that had championship. What do you call it?
Implications,
consequences, and implications. Thank you, Sean. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. You know, there was a lot of hype behind Erin Blanchfield and in her past fights.
Oh, she's a ton of hype.
In her past fights, like she's proven that she was kind of the total package. This time, not so, you know, not. I mean, I felt like Fiora was able to negate a lot of her striking and she was able to negate a lot of the clinch interactions that she was trying to push. And
yeah, by numbers alone, Fiora like outstruck Blanchfield every single round, just numbers wise.
Yeah. And oh man, I mean, Fiora looked really good in it, in the sense where she kind of did her exactly how she did Rose, where she just kept her at her range and was able to pick her apart from far away. But I mean, is that her moniker, where she just makes good fighters look mid or even,
you know? It's interesting. And also I wonder if the approach is, because there's so much at stake with this one, it's almost a, you know, you just can't, Just you can't put too much at risk with it.
Yeah.
In the terms of your approach. And so hence, maybe that's the way you end up looking like you fight, even though that's not really like a good reflection of the quality of both of these fighters. Both of these fighters are really good fighters. You just didn't really see a lot of good stuff in their matchup last Saturday.
I agree. And what happens next? I feel like Fiora possibly gets a title shot and Erin Blanchfield.
I think so. She did the job.
And Erin Blanchfield, I just feel like, you know, this doesn't hurt her stock too much, but her ranking is pretty high. So I'm wondering, who do they place her up against? I would say it's a toss up between maybe Macy Barber and Rose Namajunas.
Yeah, I think I remember somebody mentioning Macy Barber's name as a possible matchup. I wouldn't be mad at either of those things. Okay. Let's talk about the co-main event real fast. Vicente Luque versus Joaquin Buckley. There was kind of even a little bit in the first round. Going into the second round, this is where it got a little bit weird. Vicente Luque shoots in for a takedown on Buckley. Buckley sprawls. Doesn't sprawl super hard, but sprawls to avoid the initial control of his hips. Then Luque kind of sits on his own hip and pulls guard, pulls Buckley on top, and then Buckley just starts wailing on him, and then Buckley wins by TKO. It just looked bizarre.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying Luque took a dive, but I am saying maybe there was somebody in his camp that had Buckley on a parlay. I'm sorry. Oh, shit. I'm talking shit. But it looked weird. It just looked strange.
You know, I heard an interview
It's not like Vicente Luque was like a huge favorite. He was like a minus 120 favorite. Buckley was only a plus 100 underdog. So I don't think Vicente Luque took a dive because the numbers just didn't swing enough that way for it to be worth it.
I heard an interview with Joaquin Buckley and he just kept talking about how everyone thinks that Vicente Luque took a dive, but he said that he was actually disappointed in the way that Vicente Luque was fighting and that Joaquin Buckley just wanted to bang. But I mean, good for him. I mean, Joaquin Buckley at 170, he's actually been going through a tear. So
he's looking pretty solid.
He's looking really solid. And I think his popularity is starting to increase, especially with all the viral stuff he's done in the past. So what's next for Joaquin Buckley?
Let's see. Was he coming into you? He didn't come into this one rank, but he beat Vicente Luque, who's my number 11.
Number 11, Walterweight. Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess, I don't know, like you got to move him up a couple of steps, don't you?
I agree.
I mean, I don't know how UFC ranking math works anymore. No, you know how subjective it is.
It really doesn't matter.
You know who I'd want to see him fight against? Let's say it's Walterweight, right?
Yeah.
Maybe like I know people are thinking maybe a bigger name, but I thought like a heavy hitter like him versus someone like Michael Venom Page, that might be some fireworks.
That's a fucking fight right there.
That might be some fireworks. Yeah,
that is a fucking fight. That could be on the main card of some big pay per view for sure.
It'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Hey, I really quick want to talk about the middleweight fight between former middleweight champion Chris Weidman, Bruno Silva versus Bruno Silva. Chris Weidman gets the win after a stoppage in the third round, but it was only after Chris Weidman poked both of Bruno Silva's eyes and then finished with some punches.
Oh man.
And then Chris, it was awkward to be his Chris Weidman celebration afterwards. It was very passionate, and I get it. You get a emotional release after 30 training plus, so hard for a fight.
30 plus surgeries on his fucking shit.
Yeah, for real. But I don't know. I don't know how proud you should really be after, you know, you poked some dude's eyes and then you get the, like, the stoppage win for that. It just felt weird for me. And I know the people in Chris Weidman's camp were kind of shitting on Bruno Silva's reaction.
Oh, I heard about,
like,
that.
Dude, the guy had his eyes poked.
I know. They were saying, how come he's able to like, how come he wasn't in more pain? More pain? What more the pain? Fuck are you talking about?
Is there like a prescribed way you're supposed to react to your eyes being poked?
Yeah, he said you're not supposed to be flailing on the floor. It's like, why not?
Dude, man, when I put my contacts in wrong, I'm fucking, dude, for, like, real. I look like a freaking child in my bathroom.
Dude, seriously.
I'm a big fucking baby, though. I ain't no pro fighter, so what do you want? So anyway, there's that with that.
Where does this guy go, though, you know? Like, where does Chris Weidman go?
Dude, I don't even know if he... I mean, his time has gone, you know?
I mean, he looked good.
It's come and gone.
He looked good. Considering the fact that he's been gone for a while, he's not going to be champion. I mean,
no,
but at
he's
least
not. But
fight out his contract, maybe give him a Hall of Fame, not Hall of Fame induction, but maybe give him like a good retirement thing. Like maybe give him two legends or some older guys, you know?
Just don't give him some up and comers that are trying to make their name off of him.
Oh yeah. But I mean, I thought he was winning those first two rounds anyway.
You have a good point. You have a good point with that.
So I don't think you should be proud of that though, Chris. Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, like, I mean, be proud you did it.
Yeah.
But try not to jump around like you
did something.
Showed an yeah.
Like you beat Anderson Silva.
You know, I'll
different
you know,
Silva, you know, homie.
Yeah. I'll shut up, you know, but, but one other fight at middleweight that I thought ended kind of strangely too. Andre Petroski versus Jacob Malcon. Jacob Malcon wins by TKO in the second round after Petroski shot in for a high single. And then Malcon, I don't know exactly what he did, if like his heel hit Petroski in the solar plexus and knocked the wind out of him. But after Petroski shot in, he kind of just collapsed on the floor. And then that was it. Malcon finishes with some strikes. It was such a weird finish. That one was weird in terms of like people looking at it and going, maybe that one looked like a dive, but I don't think it was a dive. I think it was just a freaky kind of self TKO almost. But I don't know if you saw that shit, but that was
no weird. I didn't. It was weird. Like it almost looked like he shot in so hard that he hit his, maybe like his temple on maybe a hip bone or.
That's what I thought at first. But then the way he covered his body with his arms when he was collapsing to the floor, it made me think that when like Malcon's heel came up and like hit Petroski like perfectly in the solar plexus, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And like knocked the wind out of him. So
that's like totally possible.
So what you said could be true. What I'm saying could be true. What some other people observed, like some people were saying, like maybe the few punches that Malcon threw to the head on Petroski,
like
when
prior.
Petroski had Malcon's leg, maybe that did something to him. That it just looked bizarre.
I agree.
You guys check it out.
See, you know, what was also crazy was, man, when he did go down, did you see he was also trying to see maybe he lost his equilibrium and he was just, it looked like he was trying to like grab a leg or something like that, which was kind
of
crazy.
He was like way out of sorts.
Yeah, for sure. So
you see, now you're pointing out another thing that, yeah, maybe it's something about hitting his head on the hip or something. Cause you move out of sorts like that. Dude, I don't know.
That's actually happened somewhere else. Like in another fight somewhere.
Where someone tried to take down and they kind of hurt themselves.
Yeah.
I remember years ago, Gray Maynard did a double leg on somebody and then knocked himself out.
I remember that.
When he slammed the guy.
Yeah. Oh, what fight was that? Damn, we're such good
I'm trying to remember who he fought, but I forget who.
Well, how about Nate Landwehr versus Jamal Emmers with the... did he get a bonus for that one?
Yes, he got a performance of the night bonus for that.
Dude, Nate Landwehr, goddamn. Only lost to... Losses are to some big names like Dan 50K Ige.
So, yeah, man. So, last weekend's fights, not too bad.
I wish they would have at least stacked this card just a little bit, since it was one of the first kind of in-crowd events that they've had in a while.
Oh, for a UFC fight night in Atlantic City. Well, maybe Atlantic City, New Jersey is just too trashy. They don't want like a huge crowd. I'm just talking shit.
So Atlantic City is supposed to be what, the Vegas of the East or something like that?
That's what they were trying, but yeah.
I hear it's pretty Vegas, shitty, to be honest.
Old school Vegas. I know. The old strip Vegas.
I heard that they have like all these.
Circus. And
I heard that they try to make it that it's like one of these places where it's so like they have all these shops that you can literally go to your local shopping mall and get the same shit. It's just like, okay. Yeah, I guess.
I think maybe during the summertime, its proximity to the beach maybe is probably its only draw. I don't know.
I'm curious.
I don't know. I don't even know if it's close to the beach. I've never been to Atlantic City. I got to visit one time just to say that.
Just to see you've done it.
See what the scene is like out there. any other fights from this past weekend you wanted to talk about? One Friday Fights 57 happened. That was mostly Muay Thai.
There's also some good MMA fights
there. Pretty good fights on that one. We start talking about the fights coming up this week, though.
Yeah, let's go.
I think tomorrow starts the regular season for PFL. Women's flyweight and men's heavyweight. So, man, it's been like it feels like it's been forever since there's been a PFL season, Sean.
I totally agree. And headlining the card with Ante D'Elia versus Bellator's Valentin Moldavsky. Wasn't he ex-heavyweight champion?
I feel like he was.
The
name sounds like it's totally familiar, yeah.
So that's interesting.
So they're already incorporating the Bellator roster into these things. Give him a chance at $1 million.
So, I mean, I already forgot how this whole season works. I think they fight, what, 4 times in the year or something like that?
Yeah, I believe that's right. Yeah, like once a quarter.
I'm just curious how they seed this stuff, where it's like, do you guys already have a set?
Which part of the bracket you end up at?
Yeah, like, do you have a set number of names that are going to be competing? It looks like all the heavyweights. Yeah, you can see it's all heavyweights and women's flyweights, with the exception of the early prelims.
Yeah.
So is that all the people in this portion of, I'm sure there's more, maybe another set, right?
Yeah. So what they should do, I think what they should do is, at least on the PFL website, to just help kind of get into the whole, especially now it's March, March Madness,
build them up,
put up the brackets.
Yeah.
So if you go on PFL's website, they still have last year's playoff bracket up. You know what I mean? Well, it makes sense. PFL. If you figure out these people in these seasons, they have to win before to get the seeding.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So how you win matters.
How many points you have at the end, right?
Exactly. And then they seed you from there with the playoff. But I kind of feel like right now it's kind of just by matchups, by the division, and then they seed you later. So that's how it starts like a regular season. So you just have to be patient until the brackets hit. But I think they kind of missed a marketing opportunity to time these things where you have a playoff during March. So that way you have everyone, you're talking about brackets with college basketball, which, by the way, is super dope right now. But yeah, people could talk about their PFL bracket in the future. I don't know. Just a thought, PFL folks, if you happen to be listening, which you're not, I know. Shut up.
You would think that they would at least try to promote each weight class or make a super duper, like a teaser that would, you know, like a sizzle reel for them to build these names. Cause Ante D'Elia, I mean, not super familiar with him. I only knew Valentin Moldavsky because I think I do remember him competing in title fights in Bellator. Other names in the heavyweight division, I know who Linton Vassell is, but then all the other guys, I'm just like, who the fuck are all these guys?
Well, check out, like, even like they should build up what's going on women's flyweight. I mean, Liz Carmouche is here.
Yeah.
You know, Liz Carmouche is going to be fighting Juliana Velasquez to open the women's flyweight season.
Interesting. There's also old UFC fighter Tyler Santos Carmouche
being a pretty big name. So, oh, that's right. That's right. She signed to the PFL. That's right. Forgot about that. And it's so new. They haven't even included her profile pic on the matchup against Ilara Juan. So I think I want to see Tyler Santos eventually fight Liz Carmouche. That would be really interesting.
That would be very interesting.
Because Tyler Santos is super strong. She doesn't put herself at risk a lot. And Liz Carmouche has got a very high fight IQ. She just figures out ways to win. So, but they got to make sure like they take care of business first, get that good seating. And so maybe that's a future finals that we're going to see at women's flyweight. So yeah, that's starting tomorrow, folks. So check it out on ESPN Plus.
You know, what's also interesting is Tyler Santos gets cut after two losses to Valentina Shevchenko and Erin Blanchfield were her last two losses.
Yeah, it's super weird. Yeah, I don't know what the UFC was thinking.
Why would they let her go? She was
because
she
like pretty she's much a good fighter, man. She almost took it from Valentina.
She almost took it from seriously. That should have probably been her fight. You know,
that was close. That was fucking close. Yeah. So we'll see. Again, you don't know what goes on behind the scenes with these. So that's PFL. That's tomorrow, and then this weekend, bro. There is another fight night. UFC is back at the Apex in Las Vegas, headlined by, you know, we were talking about middleweights. Here are these two middleweights going at it. Brendan Allen versus Chris Curtis.
It's a good fight. I mean,
yeah, I'm not super like, I'm not super on fire about that, but whatever. we still got to talk about it a little bit. Like,
they just started throwing cards together at this point. Huh? Is that how it?
I don't know. But anyway, Brendan Allen opening as a favorite against Chris Curtis here.
Yeah, they have fought before also too. So they know each other very well. But I mean, I think Brendan Allen, he got caked by Chris Curtis. But I mean, look at their ranking difference. Very interesting.
Chris Curtis, number 14, apparently. Brendan Allen, number 6. So we'll see. Who do you got then? You think Brendan Allen just takes care of business?
You know, I feel like Brendan Allen, I mean, out of the two of these guys, I think Brendan Allen's probably evolved probably the most, probably. I think.
Right.
Well, whereas dude, Chris
like,
Curtis.
I always feel like Chris Curtis always makes me look dumb sometimes when I pick against him.
I agree. Because, you know, he's a great fighter. I feel like he's still undersized for the weight class. But, you know, he does talk a lot of shit. And he does train with Sean Strickland. So we'll see how that goes.
On the prelims, making her return, bantamweight fighter Jermaine Durandamy will be fighting Norma Dumont. You know, Durandamy was a former bantamweight title. Didn't she hold an interim bantamweight title, Sean?
She was also the 145 champion.
Okay, so the featherweight.
She was interim bantam, and
she was an actual
45 champion.
Yeah, this will be interesting because the Durandamy was, to me, is kind of one of those what ifs in that division, because I always felt like with her ability, she kind of underperformed. She had some incredible knockouts in her career, but she never really got to showcase a lot of her great striking skills against the top fighters at bantamweight. So she's making a return. And she's been in the fighting. She's going to be the older fighter here though. So we'll see. I'm kind of curious to see what she looks like. So I'm looking forward to that.
She's also coming back from having a child, which is insane because I thought she was a lesbian. But lesbians can't have children. But funny story about Jermaine Durandamy. When she was first starting out, someone had brought her to our pro practices over at Fight and Fitness a long time ago. I think she was training with CSA at the time.
Oh yeah.
And she had come down and she, you know, I had a camera in my hand, so I was able to actually capture a bunch of photos with her fighting against some of our local guys and or sparring. But it was actually really cool to know that, you know, she's here in the UFC still, and she was a champion, and I actually got to photograph her before she got all famous. So,
yeah. And she's a good teacher too. She was a coworker of mine for a brief while over at UFC gym in Concord. Oh, yeah? So I got to watch her teach classes, and really good details, really good energy in the class. The students loved learning from her, man, because they knew they were learning legit shit from a real champ. So,
yeah.
And this is before her MMA career was really taking off. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Any other fights on this card you're looking forward to, Sean?
Yeah. So I'll just go down the list. Alexander Hernandez, Damon Jackson fight. That should be pretty exciting. Remember, Alexander Hernandez was the guy that called Cowboy geriatric and ended up getting his ass beat by Cowboy.
By a geriatric guy.
Yeah, and Alexander Hernandez,
though, he's not related to the former football player Aaron Hernandez?
No, far from
okay.
it. God rest that
man. The murderer. He's not related to the former murderer.
Alexander Hernandez also fighting at featherweight for this fight as well. On the card is Morgan Cherrier versus Chippy Mariscal. That should be a good fight. France is starting to come up with some fighters.
There you go.
Other than that, interested in the veterans, Court McGee versus Alex Morono should be fun. And then, man, I really had so much hope for Cynthia Calvillo back when she first started. Everyone thought that she was going to be the next big women's MMA fighter, but you know she's had a bunch of camp changes and come on rough times.
Yeah, where's she training at now?
I think she's at Extreme Couture now.
Okay,
I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of potential, but just couldn't be realized. No, I agree.
But she has her hands full in her next fight with, what's her name? Gosh.
Piera Rodriguez?
Yeah, she's relatively unknown, but, you know, that's real dangerous, especially if this girl's 9-1. You know, she's...
Plus, she's from Venezuela, yeah, where they've had to deal with some insane-ass inflation out there. So, you know, she's fighting for everything she's got.
Yeah. I mean, only
she's had to carry suitcases of cash just to buy bread in her mother country. All right. So she is strong, Sean. She's strong. I'm just shut up. I shouldn't be like making fun of people's economic woes. I'll shut up, guys. Sorry.
But you know what though? I'm more excited for that one championship card that's going to be coming up over the weekend.
Walk us through it.
Let me pull it up real quick.
Which one? There's two of them going on.
So actually both, because you know, we get to see Superbond and Gregorian too.
All right, let's talk about that one. One Friday Fights 58, Superbond versus Gregorian. The rematch. This will be kickboxing rules, guys, for the interim featherweight.
What do you think about that matchup then?
Oh man, Gregorian and under kickboxing rules is
he's a monster.
A super tough out. The hand combinations he throws with intentionality and power. I mean, Superbond's fast and smart with his kicks, but oh man, it just happens that eventually you get into these punching exchanges in kickboxing, and you just gotta be sharp in there. And yeah. I don't know if he has enough to hold Gregorian off.
I don't think so. I'm gonna go with Gregorian. I think he stopped Superbond, not gonna lie.
Okay. All right. Hey, Nongo is on this one as well. He's going to fight in Muay Thai versus Kulab Dam. Hope I said that right. Or I get my fucking ass beat. What else is going on right here for this one?
How about Jonathan DeBella?
Muay Thai and kickboxing. What's up?
Jonathan DeBella, the kickboxing world champion. He didn't have a really good showing last time, I'm not going to lie. But Prajan Chai... You know how I feel about the ties going crossing over to kickboxing. It doesn't always translate. So
yeah, well, hopefully he was working on his hand combinations, but they're tough too. They're hard to put away.
You know, this whole card, just this card, aside from the other one, it's actually pretty damn good.
Well, let's take a look at the other one too, because the other one's pretty fun as well. That's One Fight Night 21 on Prime Video for y'all and y'all who got that. So lightweight kickboxing world championship, Yersel versus Alexis Nicolas from France.
That dude Yersel, man. That dude is fucking, I think he's like, God, I think he has like 22 finishes in his last 22 fights or some shit like that.
It's pretty wild.
Some crazy shit.
For kickboxing. Yeah. Who you got?
Oh man,
retains.
I think he retains. I mean, two division kickboxing world champion. Can't go wrong with this guy.
Hey, there's also a submission grappling match between Rotolo versus Isaac Michel. I feel like I've seen Isaac Michel compete in submission grappling for one before. Didn't he go up against not the other brother, but I don't know.
I know what you. He looks very familiar though.
Yeah. So anyway, so they're still trying to make that happen. sorry. And Cade Rotolo, he's going up against Francisco Lowe and submission grappling.
That's early a catchweight. So there's no title for this?
No title for that. Yeah. Catchweight at 180 pounds. I keep forgetting that Cade is like so big now. Fuck, man.
How about Dead Duong Lek, T-Dead 99?
Oh, kickboxing fight versus Taiki Naito.
Yeah. Oh, look at
that. You're not going to say anything about your Filipino cousin, Jeremy Pakiti?
I've never seen him, but his cauliflower ear is gnarly.
maybe they finally, his camp hired some American wrestling coach to help him out.
No, I think they just want the needle nose plier route.
You think, or maybe you think he just blocks punches with the side of his face.
I think
face.
They just did it intentionally. They were like, dude, if you're going to be an MMA fighter, you got to get these ears.
you got to look the part, guys. Friday?
That's Friday.
All right. So 2-1
dude, events, some guys. One, starting tomorrow.
Prime Video.
PFL, one on Prime. Well, before that's One Friday Night Fights. Then the UFC on Saturday. Wow, busy weekend.
If grappling's more your thing, we got a Fight to Win 250 that you could watch on flowgrappling.com. I'm not sure where that's at, so don't ask me. Don't ask Carlo. Don't bring it up. Sorry.
Speaking of Fight to Win, isn't there a Fight to Win coming up in San Francisco? I think it's next weekend or the weekend after.
Oh, the following week. Okay. Well, definitely we'll shout that out when we get closer to that. Right.
I think I have like,
and then,
guys.
For those of you guys who believe in that jiu-jitsu belongs in the gi. Okay, Sean, real jiu-jitsu happens in a gi. There's the Rio Fall Open under IBJJF. That's this weekend in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. And the New York Spring International Open, which will be at Hempstead, New York, at the David S. Max Sports and Exhibition Complex. So that's jiu-jitsu action happening this weekend.
Which one's the one in Brazil?
The Rio Fall International Open.
I wonder how many people are on steroids over there.
It's not steroids. It's acai bowls. Okay, so get it right. All right. And then for boxing, no big title fights this weekend. There is a title fight next weekend, not next weekend, but next week, actually in the middle of the week, weirdly enough. It'll happen while we're actually recording an episode, Sean. Oh. It's the WBA Continental North America Featherweight title. It's going to be fought for in Tampa, Florida between Angelo Leo and Eduardo Baez. And that's going to be on Pro Box TV. That's next Wednesday. So if you guys are interested in that, you know, we got your back.
How was your Easter, man?
Dude, man, I was just still recovering from being under the weather all weekend. So that's why I wasn't able to go to the MDL or go to the fights in Stockton.
Yeah.
I wasn't able to hang out with some of the Muay Thai folks that checked out the new escape rooms over at Stonestown.
Oh,
so I was just staring at my wall all weekend, bro.
Feeling better though, yeah?
I feel a lot better. So hopefully be able to be productive and social this weekend. How about you?
Yeah, last weekend I'm gonna be truthful. I actually went to a rave on fucking Friday, which was
there's
fucking
still raves
nuts.
That happened.
Yeah, there was a DJ.
Where'd you go?
There was a DJ that a friend told us about. And as you know, I wasn't very familiar with the music, but we had gotten tickets somehow, and my wife and I were like, you know, let's just check it out. Ended up being a good time. My kids were at my parents' house, so.
How much are rave tickets these days?
To tell you the truth, this one in particular, apparently this guy is super popular. I get it. You know, like DJs are worth a ton of money right now, but his name was Fisher, which was cool. And it cost us like 70 a pop, which was crazy.
70 a pop?
Yeah. And man,
you know, that doesn't sound as bad as I thought it was going to be in my head. Okay. So.
Well, let me tell you something. There was a lot of people on the floor.
Like lying down on the floor?
Lying down on the floor.
Nicely done. Well, there's a couple of people. It's exhausting to dance, Sean. It's exhausting to dance and just dance without any other things going on.
Without any drugs or anything like that. There was a couple of people that actually got carried out on a stretcher. So you can tell those are the rookies.
That's not a great scene.
But it was actually a really good time. It brought me back because it was at the Cow Palace and I had shot the... at film
first round
fights over there, and it just felt, you know, normal.
So that you're back there.
Yeah. And then on Easter, I just had a little Easter egg hunt for my kids, and that was about it. Had some dinner. You ever eat at a Grand Palace over here in South City?
No, I hear the name though.
Fucking fire.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little expensive, but it's fucking
fire. Treat yourself for the Easter bunny has risen.
Yeah.
To give us all chocolate eggs.
Shout out to my mother-in-law.
I got to do that. I got to go hit up the supermarkets and buy like Easter candies now that they're all on super sale, right?
Yeah.
I love them chocolate eggs, brother.
Dude, those little chocolate eggs. The little freaking,
I love that shit, dude. That shit's fucking give myself amazing. A heart attack.
What you got going on this weekend, man?
Dude, I'm like looking at my calendar and... I have to update some shit, so I don't know what I'm going on. I have no idea what I'm doing this weekend. I'm pretty sure something important's going to happen. I hope I don't forget.
Oh, man. What's today's date? Tax time the 3rd. Is assumed.
So. We're recording this on the evening of the 3rd, folks.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's going to do it for us, guys. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share the podcast. Don't forget to follow us on our social media. Mine is Sean_Pierre_, and yours, Carlo?
I'm Hopkey1 on Instagram. I almost forgot what I was.
You miss one day and you forget your profile. Miss 1 week.
It's like, I might as well miss 3.
Don't forget to hit up Magala Jiu-Jitsu in San Francisco, 10th Planet Jiu-Jitsu out in Daly City, Omni Movement in Hercules, and FTCC in Las Vegas.
I'm over at Hopkid USA here in San Francisco. We're with our Caldo Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu team, our Golden Pizza Muay Thai team, and shout out to our friends and family over at Pacific Ring Sports. Shout out to Sama Martial Arts in Pinole and Rooted Legacy Muay Thai in Martinez.
Don't forget about the fights. They start tomorrow, guys, with the PFL Dental One Championship on Friday morning and Friday evening. UFC at the end on Saturday. Be safe out there, guys. I don't think it's supposed to rain this weekend, but stay dry.
That's what she said.
Peace.